You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, our guest says mandatory arbitration clauses are keeping workers and customers from getting a day in court when their rights are violated.
First, a ceasefire in eastern Aleppo, Syria, was broken today, stalling a planned evacuation of civilians. Russia and Turkey struck a deal in which the last remaining fighters were scheduled to evacuate rebel-held territory under a ceasefire, giving the city of Aleppo to forces loyal to President Bashar al-Assad.
But artillery shelling began again early Wednesday on the eastern neighborhoods of Aleppo. People on the streets there say the situation is dire, with people bleeding to death in the streets and unbearable scenes.
Here's a clip from U.S. Ambassador Samantha Power speaking at the United Nations Security Council yesterday. She's referencing U.S. members, Russia, Iran, and Syria.
It is your noose. Three member states of the UN contributing to a noose around civilians. It should shame you. Instead, by all appearances, it is emboldening you. You are plotting your next assault. Are you truly incapable of shame? Is there literally nothing that can shame you?
Robin Wright joins us now to talk about the situation in Aleppo and the role of the United States in the complex war in Syria. She's a joint fellow at the Woodrow Wilson Center and the U.S. Institute of Peace and a contributing writer to The New Yorker. Robin, thanks for joining us today.
Great to be with you.
So can you talk, first of all, about the humanitarian situation in Aleppo? This is terrible, isn't it?
This is one of the worst humanitarian crises since World War II, and Aleppo is a microcosm of a greater challenge throughout Syria. The city has been divided between the West, controlled by the government, and the East, that had been controlled by the rebels. The government this week has basically assumed control of 99% of it, and it's basically fallen. But there are huge humanitarian challenges. Again, you have over half the population across Syria has been displaced. Aleppo, a city that dates back 5,000 years and was part of biblical history, Abraham was said to have grazed his sheep on its slopes, and Shakespeare mentions Aleppo twice in Macbeth and Othello. This is one of the great little jewels of the Middle East. And the old city and many of the neighborhoods have been totally destroyed. So even if there's peace, there's not much to sustain human life. Hospitals have been destroyed in the east. Schools are not running. This is a grave disaster.
And the fall of Aleppo doesn't mean the end of the war in Syria, as I understand it. What happens next?
Well, there are many wars playing out in Syria, and the first is the one between President Bashar Assad, whose family has ruled in Syria since 1970, and the rebels, who emerged out of what had been an initially inspiring Arab Spring when people took to the streets to protest a dictatorship. But it devolved into a civil war. And then you have the second war, which is the Islamic State, which seized a big chunk of Syria, and it's trying to create, in fighting both rebels and the regime, its own state inside. You have a third war that pits proxies in the region in a struggle for the balance of power between Saudi Arabia and Iran. You have the sectarian issue, Sunni versus Shiite. And then you have the international component, which pits the United States against Russia. And U.S. interests have not, or U.S. allies have not won in any round in any of these conflicts.
Let's focus in on U.S. policy so far. Given the complexity, a complex civil war exacerbated by the Iran-Saudi Arabia conflict, Russia-U.S. conflict, Turkey playing a role, ambiguous sometimes, what could the United States have done that might have made things better in the last few years?
The tragedy is that there were never any really attractive or appealing or effective solutions or options for the United States. It would have meant basically, if we decided to go in, helping the rebels in the same way we tried to determine the fate of Iraq. Syria would have been very different if we hadn't had the experience in Iraq. Americans were not interested generally in getting involved in yet another war after Afghanistan and Syria. And it would have been very costly, involving, tens of thousands of American troops on the ground, potentially a long-term presence, and the kind of alienation we've seen anyway with the rise of the Islamic State. So this is a tragedy, and the tragedy plays out for the United States as well, because we got ourselves in this terrible hole with the Iraq War that American policymakers and the American public weren't particularly interested in getting involved in Syria. And more than, around 500,000 people are estimated to have died so far.
Talking to Robin Wright from the Woodrow Wilson Center and the U.S. Institute of Peace about Syria, the fall of Aleppo, what happens next, options for the United States. Under the Obama administration, the U.S. had sided with some of the Syrian rebels. Moderates was the label that the Obama administration was hoping to support. Donald Trump, in debates and elsewhere, has suggested he might see the Syrian regime and the Russians in the Middle East as potential allies against ISIS. What policy options are out there? What do you expect from a Trump administration?
To be honest with you, I don't know. He's been all over the map on a number of different issues in the Middle East. He at one moment talks about working with the Russians. He believes that there are different kinds of solutions for Syria. But if that happens and Washington and Moscow end up with a joint plan, it would effectively mean the continuation of the rule of President Assad, which the United States has opposed for a very long time. It would also be siding with Iran, which has been a major prop for the Syrian regime in deploying its own Revolutionary Guards as well as its Lebanese allies in Hezbollah, the Party of God. So it's a little hard to tell what he's going to do, but he has said repeatedly that he sees a different kind of solution out of Syria, and it will be very interesting to see what he comes up with.
Is the Assad regime here to stay? The U.S.-backed forces being pushed back. The only alternative that seems to be putting up a fight now is ISIS, it seems like. Nobody wants to see them win there. So is this the status quo, Assad winning a slow and still bloody civil war?
It's clear that the Russians particularly would like to see President Assad regain control over as much territory as possible before the inauguration of President-elect Trump, because it would like to see the Assad dynasty to become a fait accompli, something that the United States couldn't change. Now, the United States and the Russians do agree on opposing the Islamic State. The United States has done the vast majority of the work in terms of the air power, and there has been progress. The Islamic State has lost almost 30% of its territory. It's come under growing pressure. It's lost something like 50,000 of its fighters in both Syria and Iraq. It has somewhere between 15,000 and 20,000 left. But Assad is probably going to stay around for the near term. One of the great challenges, I think, is going to be, what do you do with Syria now? And whether it's the Russians or the Assad regime, how do you rebuild a country? How do you get beyond the enormous divisions within a society that had once been one of the most diverse, one of the richest both in terms of religions and ethnic groups in the Middle East? And there is such a polarization now, it's very hard to see how this country is rebuilt. And it wouldn't surprise me to see further challenges to President Assad down the road, but short term, he's probably around for a while.
People have used the word war crimes, especially in reference to Aleppo and the bombing of civilians and hospitals there. Is there any thought that someone ultimately could be held accountable for that?
Wouldn't that be wonderful? The problem is that it's very hard to get a sitting head of state to leave the country in order to be charged, but there are long-standing allegations of the use of things like barrel bombs, these horrible, they're like oil cans full of pellets and nails and so forth that are dropped from helicopters on civilian communities. There's the destruction of hospitals. There's the use in the early days of this civil war, chemical weapons, primitive versions of chemical weapons against civilians, particularly children and women and the elderly. So there are abundant options for charging the regime. The question is, can it ever happen? And that doesn't look possible anytime soon.
Robin, I think back to the Spanish Civil War when Germany and Italy under fascist rule tried out their technologies of war for future conflicts, the Soviet Union too, to a lesser extent. Is Syria a sign of things to come? Are we going to see barrel bombing and other tactics that we're seeing in Syria showing up elsewhere in the near future?
Well, the thing that worries me is that this kind of extremism that we've seen gain momentum in the region, whether it was Al-Qaeda 20 and 30 years ago, or whether it's the Islamic State now, there is, in this void of appealing ideologies, a reversal to kind of primordial identity, whether it's religion or ethnicity or tribe and clan, people looking for something to offer leadership. And you don't find that in many countries or among many leaders in the region. And yes, there are dangers that the tactics of warfare will be repeated elsewhere, but the danger is that you don't have warfare unless there are flashpoints, and a lot of the flashpoints in the region haven't been addressed. And of course, one of the biggest questions, and no one's really put it on the table yet, is are the states in the modern Middle East, which were defined by European powers a century ago, exactly a century ago this year, viable, or are they likely to unravel? Can't, because they may not be sustainable. We see that happen, or that question in Iraq. We see it in Syria. We see it to a certain degree in Libya and Yemen as well. And so it's the warfare, it's this void in political alternatives, and the borders. What will work in the Middle East? And that's the bigger question we have very few answers to today.
Robin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
That's Robin Wright, joint fellow at the Woodrow Wilson Center and the U.S. Institute of Peace, contributing writer to The New Yorker. She joined us to talk about the news that Aleppo has fallen to the Syrian government and the role of U.S. foreign policy in Syria.